Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Homeris and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in a casual setting for conversation around God's Word, the Bible. Join us now for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
Well, once again, it's our privilege to have you join us as we gather together for our casual time here on Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, in our search of the Scriptures. Hi, this is Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. And yes, this is Bible Talk, and we're continuing our look at one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, John 3:16, digging deeply into its meaning and God's gracious promises for us today. With us, as we said, is Pastor Joe Jackowitz to help us unpack this verse that's just loaded with essential eternal truths. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. Good to be with you again.
Amen. Now, as we mentioned, this is a continuation from our last program of our talk on the familiar John 3:16. But if you missed it last time or would like to listen again, it's no problem. Just go to our website at firstloveradio.org. O-R-G. Then you scroll down to the picture that says Bible Talk, click on it, and it'll take you to all of our broadcasts. But for now, please stay with us to hear our talk today on this widely used verse of the Bible. All of our programs do stand on their own, and you can just catch up with any of the other programs later on.
That's right. As we said, we're continuing our look at that familiar verse to most, John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, Pastor Joe, could you give us a brief summary of this verse and how precious this promise from God is to all of us?
Sure. Well, John 3:16 really expresses the core of Christianity, the very essence of the gospel, which is the good news of salvation. It is a self-contained gospel in itself, that God loved the world enough to send his one and only Son, Jesus, to die in the sinner's place, so that anyone who trusts in him, puts their life in his hands, will be saved from sin. This is certainly the most well-known verse in the Bible. It's probably the best-known and most memorized part of any holy text in human history. More people know John 3:16, even from other religions, than any other part of any other holy book. So this is really a one-sentence summary of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. The gospel brings the message that people need to hear so that they can have their sins forgiven and saved. And that message is really summarized in just one sentence, and it is the subject line of the entire Bible. John 3:16 also reflects another important aspect of the plan of salvation, the gospel, which is the essential idea of salvation through Jesus Christ. And this verse is extremely clear on that, but there are also layers of meaning and knowledge inside of this verse. So there's one surface, clear meaning of the verse, and then there are layers of meaning underneath it that need to be explained, which we're not going to do right now. We're just looking at a summary of John 3:16, as you asked. The opening phrase of this verse is traditionally translated as "God so loved the world that," and is typically understood to mean God loved the world so much that. So there is nothing incorrect about that idea, but the actual phrase means God loved the world in this way, which emphasizes what actually God did more than why he did it. Jesus is an expression of God's indescribable love for sinners, regardless of their background, who they are, gender, without discrimination, education level, economic level. God's love goes beyond any limitation within man. the phrase translated one and only son or only begotten son uses a Greek word that John the Apostle uses in other places in the Gospel of John. And while this English term begotten often makes people think of biology, his only begotten son, thinking of a physical birth, this Greek word that I refer to does not speak about his humanity. The word literally means something of the exact same stuff or of the same essence. In other words, the Son of God, Jesus, is of exactly the same nature and substance as God the Father. And so this makes John 3:16 an important part of proving the Trinity or the biblical idea and truth of the Trinity. He is of the same substance as the Father. He is one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit. So this is an overview of the Bible's message of salvation through Jesus Christ. That is John 3:16.
Now this verse has been so widely used to witness to the world. Could you explain to that person who's listening or has seen it somewhere on a sign, say at a ball game, just how what is being said here by Jesus can dramatically change their lives?
Well, when people see those signs that read John 3:16 at a ball game, the person who's holding up that sign is directing people to the Bible verse of John 3:16. Some people will have no clue what that means or where that verse will lead them or where that verse comes from. But some people who are not Christians will have a clue. They've heard about that verse before. They know it comes from the Bible. And some people will go to that verse in the Bible. They'll look it up or they'll get somebody to help them look it up. And then they'll read that verse. So whoever holds up that sign doesn't have to write a whole page. All they need to do is write John 3:16. And the people who are seekers, the people who are somewhat clued in to where that verse may lead them, will follow that desire and look up the verse in the Bible. And what they will find when they look up that verse is the gospel in itself. All they have to do is read that one verse, and they will get the whole gospel. And if they put their trust in Jesus Christ, that is, if they believe that he is indeed the Savior of sinners, the only one that can save them. As the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If they believe that, as John 3:16 says, that whoever believes in him unto salvation, whoever believes that Jesus can save him or her, whoever believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes unto the Father but by him, and they put their trust in Jesus, though they can't see him or hear him, but they believe that he is there in heaven on his throne, listening to the prayers of sinners. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. Save me. I'm here. I believe in you. Whatever words they use, petitions and prayers and words of calling upon God for salvation, their lives will be dramatically changed, because earlier in John chapter 3, about 15 verses earlier, Jesus taught Nicodemus, the Jewish Pharisee, which we have covered in previous Bible Talk programs. He said, unless you are born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus goes on to explain what the term born again means. He explains that you must be born from above, or born of the Spirit in your heart. Spiritually speaking, you must receive the Holy Spirit inside of you who changes you. And so in John 3:3 and in John 3:5, Jesus identifies the how a person becomes saved, by being born again. But in John 3:16, Jesus explains the what and the why. He explains what must they do to have this dramatic change inside their heart, their inner person take place. What they must do is they must exercise faith. They must have faith to believe what the Bible says about Jesus, that he can save sinners through his death on the cross, and he can secure that salvation permanently through his resurrection. In other words, they must believe that Jesus actually died on the cross to save sinners in history 2,000 years ago, that he was raised from the dead, that he ascended to heaven, that he is very God of very God, that he's the creator, and he is the savior, the one who can save them. If they will call upon Jesus in prayer, asking him to save them, and if they believe in their heart the promise of God that they will not perish and go to hell, but have everlasting life, if they believe in Jesus to save them, God will save them. He will, without seeing anything or hearing anything, come into their heart and regenerate them or cause them to become this new person. He will dramatically change their heart, and he will give them the Spirit of God, who will give them a new mind, a new approach, and a new life. And they will be given power from God to change their lifestyle, which formerly they were a slave of sin. Now they will become a servant of God. Formerly, the old things they did, they now hate, and they will pass away. Now, after they receive the Holy Spirit, they will receive a new mind, a new heart. They'll still be the same person, but they will now desire the things of God. They will now want to read the Bible and pray and obey God, go to church to hear the word and to worship God with other believers. Their priorities will change. Their goals will change. Their desires will change. They will no longer desire the material things of this world and desire to live for this world and the material things of life, but they will live for the glory of Jesus Christ. You talk about dramatic change. That's a dramatic change.
It sure is a dramatic change. And also part of that is the burden that's now gone, the burden of being a sinner, which you might not think about every moment of every day, but at times your conscience does bother you. And then you have the burden of just getting through life. Now, all of a sudden, you're God's child, and you have that resource that is the ultimate resource that you could ever want or need, all of that at your disposal, that God will help you with everything, literally everything. So I remember that, just that feeling of such a burden being gone, and now it's like having the key to life.
Yes, well, you talk about life, Bobby. The life offered to those who believe in Christ is eternal and comes from a Greek word meaning never ending. It's never ending life. It's eternal life. The alternative to eternal life in Christ is eternal punishment and destruction. That is what the word perish means. Should not perish, but have eternal life. Verses 16 and 17 explain that the purpose of sending Jesus was our salvation. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But verse 18 reminds us that those who don't believe are condemned. He that does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's no question that according to the Bible, people can be saved only through faith in Jesus, and then they will not perish, but have this eternal life.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, and we'll return to our program in just a moment, so don't go away. There's much more to come. Pastor Joe is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Now, perhaps you've got a question you would like to ask Pastor Joe, or a comment you would like us to share on an upcoming episode of Bible Talk. Well, you can do just that by simply emailing us. Here's the email address, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also mail in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply tap on the Contact Us tab on our website, firstloveradio.org, and ask your question there. Be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this information at the end of our program, but for now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Now, all of the third chapter of John is just packed full of an explanation of what God is looking for from us and what is required to be saved and have everlasting life. But one verse that stands out to me, because I had confusion about it before I was born again, is verse 35 in this third chapter of John. Pastor Joe, could you read that for us?
Sure. John 3:35, right?
Yes.
The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand.
Now, from my Protestant church background, I grew up thinking that believing in God and trying to be good was all important to getting into heaven. So when my sister was saved and explained to me that it was important to believe in Jesus, I was so confused. I thought that Jesus was God's son, yes, but isn't his purpose to lead us to God, the Father? And so if I believe in God, what further role is Jesus supposed to play? Why is he so important to focus on in my life? But then here's this verse, 35, that says that the Father has given all things into Jesus's hand. So we've talked about needing to be born again, but in case anyone else out there is confused by the importance of Jesus's role in our lives, Pastor Joe, could you please explain this verse and why it's all important to God that we believe in and love his Son and not just recognize God?
Good question. And to answer this question, we need to look at the role of Jesus Christ in the Trinity. Christians believe, the Bible teaches, that there is the nature of God called the Godhead, or as many people know it, the Trinity. We believe in one God who has revealed himself in three separate distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. One God manifesting himself in three persons. Each member of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are co-equal and have all of the attributes of God. Just as God the Father is all-powerful and all-knowing and is everywhere, so is Jesus, all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father loves the Son so much, and he has chosen to honor the Son, that he has delegated the role of creator and judge and intermediary of all things, including the creation, into the hand of the Son, into the authority of the Son. And therefore, Jesus Christ is the agent of God between God and man, but also he is the mediator between God and man and the one that has created all things. And also God the Father has given the Son the honor and the praise that the Father wants the Son to have. He has exalted the Son to the place of preeminence over all things. That's what Colossians chapter 1 says, that in him he shall have all the preeminence. So when it talks about the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand, it doesn't mean that the Father transfers all of his nature and everything that he is to the Son, and that the Father is only a person in name only and no longer has a nature of God. No, it means that the Father loves the Son so much, he desires to exalt the Son in such a way that everything must go through Jesus. Jesus is the sinner's advocate, and to have a relationship with the Father, the sinner must be saved through Jesus Christ, and his prayers and his relationship with the Father must be mediated through Jesus Christ to be acceptable. But also, the Father loves the Son in the sense that he desires to honor the Son, so that in his role as creator and judge and Lord of all and sustainer of all things, we all must look to the Son. We all must give our attention to the Son. and therefore we must all honor the Son in doing so, respect the Son, magnify and exalt the Son. If all attention and praise is going to be on the Son from God's creation, including us as human beings.
Yes, and as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So that ties into what you're saying, Pastor Joe.
Yes, it is saying in John 14:6 that you just quoted, way, truth, and life. There's no way to the Father except through Jesus. If a person wants a relationship with God, they have to go through Jesus Christ by faith in the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, or else they will never know God. But Jesus is the truth as well in that verse that you quoted. He is the truth. That is, Jesus in his nature is the divine logos of God. Logos in the Greek means word. So Jesus as the living word of God through whom God communicates to mankind, through Jesus, God, who is God's spokesman, he is God's prophet, he is God's teacher. Jesus has the message that God the Father wanted him to bring to the earth and to share with all of us in this world so that we can know God himself. Jesus is the one who teaches us truth. And so in the Bible, we have a record of the written word of God that Jesus, the living word of God, gave to the apostles and the prophets and all of the writers of the Bible so that he would teach us all of God's truths that will not only lead to our salvation if we trust in him as our Lord and Savior, but will also for the rest of our lives after we are saved, continue to teach us about God so that we could know God more deeply, so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of God, so that we can increase our intellectual and spiritual knowledge of God to have a better worship experience, a deeper worship experience as time goes by, but also the more we know about God through our teacher, Jesus Christ, who is the truth, the more we will appreciate who God is and the more truth we will be able to share with a blind, ignorant, starving world who is ignorant of the truth.
Yes. Now, we said we're looking at John 3:16, but as you alluded to earlier, verse 17 is directly tied into what is being said here. Let me reread it. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Pastor Joe, could you talk about how these verses are tied together?
Well, verse 16 talks about salvation through Christ. There is a stipulation, there is a condition, which is faith in Jesus Christ. And those who put their trust in Jesus Christ will not come into condemnation, but will have eternal life. And verse 17 says that the reason why God sent him, that is Jesus, into the world was not to condemn the world. The ultimate purpose of God is that he does not delight in the death of the wicked. God does not like to see people die and go to hell and perish and be tormented in the lake of fire forever, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. So verse 17 is giving us an additional reason why God sent his Son into the world, to save us, not to condemn us. As a matter of fact, the very name of Jesus means Savior. Yeshua HaMashiach in the Hebrew language means the anointed one of God, or Jesus the Messiah. The one who is anointed of the Father and sent into the world to save us from our sins. If he wanted to, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and ate that forbidden fruit, God could have cast Adam and Eve and all of their descendants after them, including you and me, in hell and have us punished there forever. But God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world. It's not in God's nature to delight in the punishment of sinners forever in the lake of fire. He does not want that to happen. And so he sent us a Savior who would give us eternal life, not condemn us. So there is this twofold idea in salvation. There is first the truth that we're all sinners and we deserve to be punished because of our sins and because we've broken God's law deliberately, and we deserve condemnation and punishment forever. Yes, forever. That's how much God hates sin. And that's how just God is, that he cannot sweep one sin under the rug, so to speak. He must be a faithful, perfect judge. But that condemnation is merited by sinners. They choose darkness rather than light. But in the infinite love of God, which cannot even be described, it is so great, so deep, so wide, so high, God prefers to save souls instead of all men and women dying and going to hell. God sent his son to save those who would put their trust in him. And therefore, you have trillions and trillions of souls who will be in heaven. It will be so large a group of people in heaven. The Bible describes it as an innumerable company of the saints, a group of believers, of saints that cannot even be numbered. There's going to be so many there. And that amount of people in heaven, rather than everybody going to hell, and the fact that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, not any old messenger, but the second person of the Godhead himself, who is God himself, was given the mission to come into the world in a wicked, sinful world and to pay a very, very high price to save sinners, to purchase their salvation, to guarantee their salvation, not to make the possibility of salvation something that is realistic, but to actually guarantee that once the sinner puts his or her trust in Christ, that nothing can take away their salvation, nothing can separate them from that eternal love of God. And so verse 17 shows us the love of God, even though we know that those who perish and die outside of saving faith in Jesus Christ, they will be condemned. They will be punished forever. But God did not want that to happen, and that's why he sent his son into the world to save sinners.
And thank you for explaining that so clearly, because I think it is a problem that so many people do feel that burden once they do realize that they're sinners, that they feel that they're condemned. And that's such an important step to coming to salvation. But we have to remember that he did come because of God's love, as you were explaining, Pastor Joe, that he does love the world so much that he wants them to be saved. And so it's so wonderful to realize that he is that loving God. He isn't just that hard disciplinary father. He does love us so much.
My advice to our listeners would be, don't look to yourselves. When you struggle, don't look within yourself for any kind of strength to overcome. Because from day to day, our faith fluctuates. Look to Christ. Trust in Christ. Look to the one who is perfect, who never changes, who doesn't change his mind about how he feels toward you. He loves you in the past, he loves you in the present, and he will always love you.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.